Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read verses 10 through 18, and we're going to talk on verse 18 primarily. Paul writes these believers, he's preparing them, he's a good shepherd. He says, finally be strong in the Lord after all the blessings he's mentioned and all the great things he's talked about, and we'll talk more on that next week. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray asking that you would grant us grace that today we could hear what the Spirit is saying to us personally, in our own lives regarding prayer, regarding our own prayer life and the importance of it and how well we are doing it. We pray that you would, even if we think we're doing well, we pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to know you better and to communicate with you, to commune with you more intimately, more closely, more fervently, more desperately. You know the fullness of this passage, and we can only scratch the surface of it. We pray that your Spirit would be pleased to open up our hearts and minds to deeper understanding. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would know you better. Maybe someone today, Lord, someone you'd touch, someone today to be more fervent in their prayer life, to think about praying for others more, that they could see fruit from it. Help us to be more transparent before you and before one another in seeking prayer and help and our aid in prayer. And show us the importance of it today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think this is going to be, for me anyway, a very necessary and important message to hear, because we come down to this last section. Verse 18 is not like it's... Some have viewed it as another piece of armor. It doesn't seem like a piece of armor. It seems like the very thing that we put everything on with. Because you don't really have an actual shield in hand, but we're told about it. You don't have this belt of truth to literally put around your waist. So how you put this on? You put it on with prayer. May truth guard my mind. May my life and my conduct be such that my conscience is clear. Praying, asking these things. Give me a ready word with the gospel of peace. Give me faith that I can trust you with utter confidence when the arrows of the enemy come at me, that I can trust you and not give up. Oh, and let me place that helmet of salvation in the right spot. I put it on by faith that I can stand against the discouraging blows and the discouraging doubts of the blows of doubt and discouragement of the enemy. And I take up the sword of the Spirit. God, I can't remember anything from your word unless you remind me. Help me to remember the right word for the moment, for my own life, but for the lives of those that I'll impact. That sword of the Spirit, having the right word at the right time, the sayings of God in the Scripture. Just like Jesus, when he did battle against the enemy, when the enemy came at him, he had a right word at the moment. Of course, you'd say, yeah, but Jesus is the Word of God. He's the author of it. True, but he has given us his Spirit. As we would do the hard work of studying, reading the Bible over and over and over, we could have a ready word at the right time when we're in battle. But put that sword on with prayer. Help me to handle it with what I know. Help me to use what I know in battle today, Lord. And it's the armor. You've got to remember, the armor that Paul's talked about is the armor that God has issued you. He's issued this armor to you to put on. It's his armor for you. it's so necessary. It's absolutely essential for victory. So he's given us exactly what we need. We lack nothing. There's not a one more piece that we could say, well, why don't you give us this? He's given us exactly what we need. And verse 18 then becomes extreme. It's vital when we think about spiritual warfare. We have the armor. God's issued it to us. But verse 18, I think, just spells out clearly, we have to engage God. We have to engage with God. We have to engage God with us. We have to engage Him. It makes it so clear through prayer. Communication. Communication. God is the one who teaches us how to use it. He's given it. He knows how it functions. He knows the exact use of it. We learn from Him. I think of karate so often when I'm going through this, because Trevor teaches his children. He teaches the class what they need to know in order to do karate or to handle themselves well when they would be in trouble. It's more than just knowing karate. It's how to handle yourself if you find yourself in trouble. God teaches us how to use the armor, but He calls us, He instructs us here. Here's how you put it to use. Pray. It's an essential element. It's to be layered on with each piece. In other words, the whole time we're fighting, the whole time we have this armor, we put it on each piece with prayer. I already said that, but we have to have this in mind. It's better to say the essential duty of every one of us as believers is to keep the lines of communication open with God. Jesus told His disciples in Luke chapter 18 to pray and not give up. And He gave a parable about the woman who goes before the judge and seeking His help over and over and over and over. Finally, the judge relented. And Jesus says, how much more would your Father hear you? Don't give up. Pray without ceasing. Paul writes this to the disciples as well. But he tells them this. Jesus tells His disciples this, to pray and not give up. Because He knows that if they cease to pray, they're going to lose heart. They'll quit. That tells you something. If you're instructed in Scripture to pray without ceasing, pray and not give up, it ought to tell you something about the nature of the fight that you and I are in as believers. You're being stalked by a hate-filled enemy who hates the name of Jesus so much. If he can cause you and I to stumble, shrink back, be fearful, cast it aside, he's won the victory, at least temporarily anyway. Jesus knows more than anyone that when the battle gets hard, even the strongest, most well-versed, well-armored, well-trained believer will become easily fatigued. In battle, the greatest soldiers would become weary. They would fight on. They knew what their commander wanted of them. And so often we lose touch with the commander. And Jesus tells us the answer to that is pray and never give up. Paul tells us pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You know, even though we have countless blessings that we see here in Ephesians, we'll talk about them next week, and we have every resource available, the reservoir of heaven, the treasury of heaven is ours to draw from continually. We have all these resources, but in the battle, it comes down to this one matter, prayer. It's pray or fall. Pray or fail. You either pray as a dependent upon God's strength and His wisdom and His power, or as an independent, you fall and fail in your own strength. And it's quite embarrassing. As you all probably have found out somewhere along the line in your lives. Prayer is absolutely essential. And Paul tells us here, pray on all occasions, because he's saying, stay connected to your commander. Stay connected to your leader. I like saying it better this way. Stay connected to your Lord and Savior. But so often we cut ourselves off. We literally cut the lines of communication, or we hang up the phone. Oh, wait a minute. You push the off button on your phone. Forgot you don't hang up phones hardly anymore. God's got a party line. But everybody can talk all at once. Ask your grandma what party line is if you don't know. But we cut ourselves off from Him when we fail to pray. On all occasions, or all the time, for everything. One of the things about children that's both a blessing, but also it begins to be indicative of a problem they're going to have when they get older, is this desire for independence. Independence is good when it comes to how they live in this world. But when it comes to walking as a child of God, there's no room for an independent spirit. We are to be completely dependent upon God at all times for everything. And Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Prayer connects us to God, keeps us connected, keeps us grounded, keeps us safe. But when we cut off that communication, we put ourselves in peril. Now, most of us understand the necessity of connectedness. Does everyone have their phone with them today? Probably. Most of us have phones, maybe not everyone, but most of us do. If you leave home without your phone, what happens? What's one of the first things that happens when you realize that? I left my phone at home. Or, where's my phone? You know exactly where that thing's at and why. Why? By the way, I better check and see if I got anything. Whew, nobody wanted to talk to me. Oh, I better text somebody so I can keep in what? Communication. We wouldn't be caught dead without this thing. Right? You got to have it. Most of us, I mean, yeah, I might grumble sometimes when my phone rings for 50 times in a day or something, but I keep it with me because I want to stay connected. To be in communication. We believe it's crucial to stay connected to people that we love, our friends, our family, or it could be for business purposes, but we feel it crucial to stay connected. But many of us think very little about the lines of keeping the lines of communication open between ourselves and God. We are happy for the blessings, and we should be. We rejoice in our position as children of God, sons of God, heirs of God. We love all that. We're happy for that. We rest on that. We're confident in the grace of God. We're sure because the Scripture tells us that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is ours. I know my future is secure. But we don't really believe the importance that Scripture puts on keeping the lines of communication open with God. It's a duty. Prayer is a commanded duty. There are commanded blessings. This is a commanded duty with blessing. All the commandments are duties, but they are commanded blessings. This is one of those commanded blessings. God commands a blessing. To communicate with God is not something that should wear us out. It should be something that infuses you with strength and spiritual health and vitality. Imagine when you're broken down and weary and tired, when you fall before the Lord, if you've ever done this, and how after falling before the Lord and staying there, like Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And you rise filled and full. And so yet we will so often set prayer aside. If all else fails, pray is our attitude. That's the best thing we can do. Most of us turn to prayer only when trouble comes. Isn't that right? I feel a little pressure, I pray, and that's good. Don't shame yourself into saying, well, if I'm only going to pray when trouble comes, I won't pray at all. That would be stupid. Was it not? That'd be like, the only time he eats when I'm hungry. I guess I won't eat. Well, you better pray in times of trouble. Thankfully, the Lord doesn't turn from us when we come to Him in times of trouble. Psalm 50, verse 15 is one of my favorites. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. So when you're in trouble, you should pray. And we know this. The Scripture tells us in James, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, pray. That would be give God thanks. Thanksgiving. Oh, but think of it. When it comes to prayer, how many of us would be spared from untold trouble if we would pray? If we would heed what He's telling us here in Ephesians chapter 6. We have entered into a battle that belongs to the Lord. And so He gives us right here one of the key elements of that warfare. If the battle belongs to the Lord, He's fully armed us and armored us, then our duty is to pray. And sissies are those that wouldn't pray. I meant to say, it is not to be you're not a sissy if you pray. It is exactly what you need to do is pray. Soldiers pray. Soldiers of the cross lean on Jesus. Paul has brought us from the blessing of the mountaintop of all we have in Christ to our knees. Here in Ephesians chapter 6 to say these people with these blessings are those who find themselves most on their knees in prayer. The world will look on if they could see inside your prayer closet, assuming that you have times of prayer, and they would marvel with scorn at you for praying. It appears to be so weak. But the truth of the matter is, we are weak. Because when we are weak, the Bible tells us, then He is strong. It cuts against our fallen human nature. Our flesh doesn't want to pray because our flesh declared independence from God in the garden. And the Spirit in us cries out, craves dependence upon God. There is a war going on inside. Take up the sword, the dagger in hand, and put that flesh to the death in this area of your life. The Scripture commands you to pray. It's God's wisdom for us. How many of you that have children are put off sometimes because your children reject your wisdom? You expect them to listen. And you expect them to do as you command them to do. Is that not right? But have you rejected God's wisdom when it comes to prayer? You say, well, I'm a very practical person. Then kill that practicality. We have been given practical armor, to be sure. It is practically applied in daily life. But this matter of prayer is one that is of spiritual significance for your survival. There are many reasons why we don't pray. I think you could probably come up with your own list, but in general, when we feel pretty comfortable or secure, we tend not to pray. What would we pray about? We don't even think about it, but we don't pray when we enjoy, oftentimes we enjoy physical blessings. We might have good health. I'm not thinking about praying when I'm feeling good as I ought to. I hope today's message will help you think, I can pray when I feel good. I can pray when I'm well fed. I can pray when I'm hungry. I can pray when I'm sad. I can pray when I'm happy. And the list goes on and on. It seems as physical blessings of good health or financial prosperity create in us something of a lack of appetite for God's spiritual blessings. We have everything we need. We feel good. When we're comfortable, when we're at ease, we become self-satisfied so often. And that's human nature. When we're comfortable, when we're at ease, like that old farmer in the parable when Jesus told it, I built all my barns. My work is finished. I will eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus said, but tomorrow you die. And his life came from him. He even said, for tomorrow I died. Live it up today. And his life was taken the next day. Don't be self-satisfied. Prayer is one antidote for self-satisfaction. It brings you to the reality of who you're praying to. You're praying to the God of heaven and earth. I want to ask you, where is your passionate desire for God? Maybe I should pray it this way. Where is our passionate desire for God? When was the last time you passionately desired God? Where's your sense of dependence upon God? Part of Israel's problem was they boasted in their strength. We've become able to care for ourselves so well, and they forgot the Lord. You can read it over and over and over, and those periods of time was decades. And then they would go through a terrible time. Then it'd be decades of recovery after repentance, but they would keep doing this loop over and over and over, and they would declare their independence from God. Where's your sense of dependence? Do you have a sense of dependence upon God? On everything? Think of the things that you know right now you can't handle, and you're not handling well. You know in your heart that you are not depending upon the Lord. There's an area you can repent before the Lord. Where's your yearning for God's help? Most of the time we're pretty comfortable with our own solutions. I hope you find yourself in trouble enough right now in something in your life that you have to yearn for God's help. And if you yearn for His help, you'll pray. If we don't pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and Paul talks about this, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We'll talk about what that means here in just a minute. But if we don't pray in the Spirit on all occasions, you and I will not have, we won't have God's empowerment. Why do we fall so easily? Well, we pretty much have given up, and we mark it up to, well, that's just the way I am. I'm weak in this area. I don't know. We should be ashamed of that in light of the armor that we've been given. I'm ashamed of it. This was not an easy message to put together. So many areas in my life that I should feel shame for just simply going, that's, you know, I don't know. That's just, I'm 57. That's what 57-year-olds act like. Shame on me. The greatest men in Scripture, when they became older, were the most vulnerable to the most terrible falls and disasters. Something happens when you get older. You feel entitled. At least I do. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't think so. But if we don't pray in the Spirit, that is, with the mind of Christ, we won't stand with God's power in the day of evil. You just can't put on the armor, I said to myself yesterday. You just can't put on the armor. You can't bask in the blessings of God and put your spiritual life on autopilot. I rebuked myself yesterday. And I took it to the Lord in prayer. And it was a good, healthy thing to do. I said, you can't put on the armor, bask in the spiritual blessings of God, put your life on autopilot, and do amazing exploits for God. And you can want to do exploits for God. But if you don't pray and go to the God who gives strength for the exploits, you are going to fail. You just can't do it for God without prayer and praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying with the mind of Christ, praying consistent with what He reveals about Himself in Scripture, and praying in accordance with what God has revealed that we ought to pray, and how we ought to think, how we ought to act. You can't pray in the Spirit if you're harboring sin. If you're cherishing it in your heart, here's what Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So the first thing you have to do, if you know of a known attitude in your life that you said, oh well, that's just the way I am, God is pressing you in that point of your life. There is a reason you feel undone. Pray. Confess that sin. You can't pray in the Spirit if you're holding a grudge against someone, because that's not the mind of Christ. You can't pray in the Spirit if you're unforgiving. You can't pray in the Spirit if you're selfishly motivated. I want to spend all I get from God on my own comfort. You can't pray in the Spirit if you have a covetous heart. I want, I want, I want. Oh God, give it to me. That may be an extreme demonstration, extreme drama, but there's an awful lot of that. I have to have this, or else. That is not praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit simply means that you delight yourself in what God has said, and delight yourself in who God is, delight yourself in what God has said, delight yourself in what God does, and delight yourself in what He commands you to do, and pray in that manner. Have those things in mind as you pray. Praying in the Spirit is delighting in God and everything about Him, and delighting in His answers, delighting in what He has to say about matters. And if you don't delight, here's the thing, you pray about it. If you say, I don't get that, help me. I yield myself to your understanding. Let me understand what you mean by forgiving someone that's harmed me. Or I just, you hold a grudge against somebody. I just can't let it go. Help me. I don't understand that. I don't understand that aspect of your character, but I know it's there. Please grant me grace in this area. I don't want to be susceptible to the defeat. I don't want to be continually defeated in this area of my life anymore. What areas of your life do you feel like you've been soundly whipped? And there are areas, there are attitudes in your life where you've been whipped. And it's not over yet. There's still fight in you if you'll pray. Pray on all occasions, all the time. Having your mind set on things above, being prayerful all the time. When you're tempted, lift the temptations up before the Lord. When you're happy, give thanks to the Lord. When evil's all around, you read the news and you're troubled by it rather than complain about it. Jim, it's me. Bring it before the Lord. Do you see the evil? Yes, He sees it. Please show us what we do to make it right. Give us power to do something if it's in our calling to do it. He says, pray with all kinds of prayers and petitions. Pray with all kinds, every kind of prayer, everything. Pray about everything. But praying in the Spirit. See, because we can pray a lot of stuff and pray about, bless everyone, Lord. Is that a biblical prayer? Or would it be better to begin specifically putting faces and names before the throne of grace? That if it's whatever, pray anything. Pray, let them know your saving love today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let them stand in the fight. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and petitions. Prayers that are praising God. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Throughout the day, you see something wonderful. Praise the Lord. You have a feeling sweep over you of wholeness and safety. Praise the Lord for it. Pray publicly, of course. Pray privately, to be sure. Pray in your prayer closet where no one knows it. I hope you have a time of private prayer. Jesus talked about the prayer closet. Persevere in prayer. I think when he says all kinds of pray on all occasions, all the time, the King James and the other versions use persevere, perseverance in prayer. Always keep on praying. That's what he's saying. Always keep on praying all the time, on all occasions, in the Spirit, with all kinds of supplications, all the time, and all kinds of prayers. It's this whole idea of continually, all the time, be on in prayer, on in prayer. Say, I don't know what to pray. One of the best prayers that touched my heart was after Kimber Kaufman had resigned, and Dale Shaw prayed. He didn't pray in sentences, he prayed words. Help, wisdom, mercy. Do you remember that? I've remembered that. It's been one of the most helpful things for me. God can put it in complete sentences because the Holy Spirit's going to translate what you're praying anyway. He's going to make it right. Help. The Bible tells us there's no God like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to come to the aid of those who call for help. Wisdom. Jesus, fill me. He is the wisdom of God. He says, pray, persevering prayer on all occasions, everything, whatever you can think about, pray about it. I'll never forget reading this. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do. Now, when I say I have so much to do, I hurry up. Well, I don't really, but I used to. I'd hurry up, be up, crack at dawn, leave early in the morning, work, because the day I had so much to do, and I spent my energy throughout the day as I should have. Martin Luther, he had so much to do. He said, I have so much to do, I have to pray 3 to 4 hours every morning before I get started. Because he had so much to do. But he needed God's help. And so he'd pray 3 to 4 hours in the morning. I can't even imagine that. I'm not saying, maybe some of you will. But that's pretty cool. That's really something. But we can't take delight in our prayers and go, aren't I great? I just prayed a wonderful prayer. Because on the other side of that, I think as Matthew Henry or E.M. Bounds wrote, there's enough sin in my prayers before my feet hit the floor in the morning to damn 10,000 souls. So we can't boast in our own prayers. We boast in Him who hears. It's communication. How many of you talk with your spouse and you walk away and you go, that was so awesome what I told her. You know, you don't usually do that. You usually think, what a wonderful time we've had talking. Hopefully you think that way when you pray. It's like, ah, what a great time in prayer. Prayer should be the most invigorating part of your life. And if you're new to prayer, pray. You don't even have to read a book on prayer. I find those books to be extremely boring. I fall asleep when reading books on prayer, except E.M. Bounds. That was pretty exciting. But pray. Pray on all occasions. And Paul finishes verse 18 with this in mind, praying all the time. Keep alert and always keep on praying. That's the perseverance. Always keep on praying for all the saints. How much time do you spend praying for me? How much time do I spend praying for you? This is where we oftentimes do feel shame. You're depending on me. This is what the Scripture is telling us. We depend on each other to pray for one another. Most of us are so self-absorbed, we only think about us four and no more. But we have to reach out before the throne of grace on our behalf. What would God be pleased to do in this church if we prayed for one another? How would our lives turn around? Areas that we're stuck in that no one knows about. No one may know where you struggle the most, and that's okay. God knows. But if we prayed regularly for one another, just lifting each other up, I don't know, but I lift Jason up to you, Lord. I don't know what God would do. But praying for one another takes you out of yourself for a while, and you begin to love like God loves. That God kind of love, it's an agape love. It's self-sacrificing. It's so important, praying for other believers. Samuel was so convicted of the necessity of praying. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, he tells Israel, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." It was a sin, as far as Samuel was concerned, for him not to pray for all of Israel. And you can pray, as you well know, you can pray for others anywhere, anytime. We don't have to face east, north, south, west. We don't have to sit, kneel, stand, lay flat. You can pray in those positions. You can pray whenever you want. You can pray in whatever position you're at. And if you spend a lot of time at work, you can be prayerful through your work day. A spiritually healthy person does not obsess about him or herself. Spiritually healthy, listen to your own prayers, and you can decide, you can determine how healthy am I. You say, "Yeah, but I've got problems. I've got to pray through them." Well, it tells you you're not spiritually healthy. It doesn't mean stop praying about those things, but you can pray more expediently concerning those matters of yourself. But that you need to be thinking about pray for others. Pray with all your might when you pray for yourself and when you pray for others. With all your might. Jesus did. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about ready to be handed over. And he went and he prayed once. He came back. He found the disciples sleeping. He goes back, prays again. He comes back. He sees them sleeping again. He goes back and prays. And it says he even prayed more earnestly, where sweat dropped like blood to the ground. He prayed with all his might. And sometimes we get so afraid we're going to be over dramatic, but when you feel you're praying for a loved one and you cry out, "God, if you don't save them, no one will." When was the last time you cared? When was the last time I cared about something so much? You would put off everything to pray for them. Jesus said, "Pray for your enemies." I don't know the last time I prayed for an enemy. I don't know if I've done enough to have any enemies anymore. It hurt too much when I did. And pray with all your might. Put some heart into it. Not every time, you don't have to. But you can if you must. We hold a prayer meeting here every Sunday about 1:30. I know most of the time it's men that come to it. But everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome. We're a praying church. I think God would honor that. I think Satan loves nothing more than prayerless Christians. Why even bother with prayerless Christians? A prayerless Christian's defeated already. A person that doesn't go into their prayer closet is not a threat at all. They may have the look of a Christian. They may be decked out in full armor. I guarantee you, if I stood on a sideline of an NFL football game today in full uniform, now granted, the pants would be too long, shoulder pads would probably be falling over my shoulders, and the helmet, you could spin it around, because it'd be too big for my head. But there's not one player on the opposing team that would see me as a threat. And it's got to be the same for Satan when he sees a believer that doesn't pray. A believer that won't use his prayer closet. I don't even know where I read this, but it made me think about it. You may have all kinds of knowledge. And you may have every endowment a Christian could ever want. But will your prayer closet shame you today for your lack of prayer. What would your prayer closet say about you today? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, search our hearts. See if there be a wicked way in us when it comes to prayer. Minister to us and give us that delight to carry on this delightful duty of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.